We're going to continue our halacha simpei vav, halacha hei vav. And last time we saw that when you cook eggs in a pot, under certain circumstances, such as if it has a blood spot in it, tam can transfer through the eggshell into other things that are in the pot. And because of this, there are some people who have a minhag to never cook less than 3 eggs in a pot. That is to say, when they're cooking hard-boiled or soft-boiled eggs, that they can't check the egg for blood spots before they start. So they always make sure to have at least 3 eggs in the pot. The thinking being that if it turns out that one of those eggs has a blood spot in it, the bleas that are in that blood spot will be bottled into the eggs, the other eggs. So the other eggs will remain kosher even if one of the eggs hadn't had a blood spot. Okay? So the question on that is, how does it help? Didn't we see that Shulchan Aruch says that if a person has a treif egg, it needs to be buckled 61 times its volume. So, and even if it had even has a blood spot, so it needs to be buckled 61 times. So what does it help? Excuse me, to have 2 other eggs in the pot, shouldn't you need to have 61 or something else, but not, seemingly 2 should not be enough. Okay, so the answer to that question, there's 2, you know, ways of going, but the answer to that question is going to be as follows. We said last time, I mentioned in passing, that a blood spot is usher. A blood spot makes a whole egg usher because we believe the egg was shoved to chavukula. If you find the blood spot in the right or the wrong spot, then that tells us that a chick is developing and the entire egg, we're choshesh that the entire egg is usher also. So there are very specific places where the blood has to be in order to qualify as shoved to chavukula, to be choshesh for that. Back in Simon Pevav, the Rambam brings that there are many different days. There are many shittas and shurim. It's exactly what that spot is, the spots where it would make it awesome, would be shad to chavukula. So l'maisa, we're machmir for that. The Rambam says, we Ashkenazim are machmir for basically for all of those shittas. But the Rambam says that since we don't really know, it's a suffix whether any kind of blood spot is the kind that we shad to chavukula. So the Rambam says if we don't know for sure that it's in a so to speak bad spot, then we say as follows. Rambam says, if you're not sure whether the place where the blood spot is a kind that we shad to chavukula, then yesh lahate hateruvus, you could be matir a mixture of this egg with other eggs. I'm going to explain that in a minute. Since chad betray 1 and 2 is bottle, avam habe levad usher, but you should be machmir for the egg itself. But otherwise you could be makel about the terubus that it has. Now, the Taz understands that what the Rambam means to say is like this. The rule is that min b'minay is bottle b'raif. Min b'raif said if you have 3 pieces of iser that they're the same, they're considered to be the same min, and one the bleas from one goes into 2, then it or into more than itself, then it's bubble. Min rabbanan, even by min b'mino, you need to have shishim. When there's a question of bleas, it has to be shishim connected. So when the Rama says la'avachi chad b'tre bottle, he means to say is midaraisa chad b'tre bottle. Midaraisa, this would be mutter if it was just 1 to 2, and therefore since the whole iser here is a shadow, this is rabbanan. Because midrash it would have been bottled. Therefore, two kosher eggs in the pot, then we'll say savad rabban l'kula. We'll assume that it was not shadut tichel l'kula, and the bleas will be bottled. So we wouldn't eat the egg by itself, but when it comes to a shayla of being bottled into something else, we say is the midrash it's for sure it is bottled. So they only have a concern of the rabbanon. On a concern of the rabbanon, we'll say is. We could be assumed that the blood spot was not in one of those bad spots, and therefore it's bottle, even if there's just 2 eggs. Now, why does he say 2 eggs? So why is that going to be 2 eggs? So seemingly, it's because we, as we mentioned, the Shulchan Aruch says, we're choshesh that eggs might not be the right size, and that's why we need, all eggs might not be the same size, and that's why we need 61 eggs instead of just 60 eggs for bittul, as we mentioned last time, according to this explanation. And therefore, since the egg might not be the same, if I have 1 egg with a blood spot and 1 egg without a blood spot, there might not be enough to bottle it. So therefore, the mimic became, the way the Taz explains it, is a mimic to always have 2 eggs, 3 eggs in the pot. This way we can have 1, in case 1 has a blood spot, the bleas will be bottled into the other ones. Okay, and that's the reason why that Taz is the reason for the mimic that some people have to cook never less than 3 eggs in a pot. just as an aside, the mimic is not to have an odd number of eggs. The mimic is to always have at least three. You can have four or five or six or as many as you want to, as long as it's more than three or more. That's what it passes. Now, the shach disagrees. The shach says is even if there's just one other egg in the pot, it'll be good enough. I mean, you have one kosher egg, one egg with a bud spot, and then one other egg in it, that's enough to make it mutter. So the Marsham says, you know why it's enough to have one egg? He says, it's just simple, it's math. He says, if you have two eggs in a pot, let's say even the treif egg was way bigger than the kosher egg. Okay, I'm going to give numbers to it. Let's say the egg with the blood spot was 60 cubic centimeters. Okay, that's the size of what we call a jumbo egg. And the egg that doesn't have the blood spot was only 40 cubic centimeters. That's what we call a medium-sized egg. Okay, so the treif one is way bigger than the kosher one. But he says, but there's water in the pot also. So let's say, in our example, there was 100 cc of water in the pot, which would be a very little amount of water for two eggs that themselves are 100 cc. He says, even if that would be what happened, the tam from the egg with the blood spot would spread into the water and into the other egg, which would come out to be, in the numbers we're giving, it would come out to be 71% of the fluid would go into the water and only 29% would go into the egg. So the amount of the egg, even if the egg without the blood spot is much smaller, it would be well more enough to be mevatel the tam coming out of the egg with the blood spot, and therefore there's no need to have two eggs. You don't have to have two eggs if it was just eggs. But of course there aren't just eggs. You're not cooking eggs in a pot without water. So the water in the pot, the town spreads to all these things. So the amount that gets to the coast to the egg without the blood spot is so little that it's not a problem with being about. Now that's a very fine explanation. But if you look at the shach himself, when the shach says you could get away with just one egg, get away with just having one other egg in the pot, the shach says something a little more subtle. The shach says the reason why is because the issue that there is to eat is that we're machmir to eat to treat eggs as we're always choshet that shalik techul b'kula. That's an issue on the egg itself, but that does not apply to taruvus. Anytime it's for taruvus, it's going to be mutter. He says, and therefore, so as long as the egg itself, when the Ramah says you shouldn't eat it, if it was the Be'el Lechud, you shouldn't eat the Ramah's word, the Be'el itself should be Osir. But what happens if there are other things in there? If there are other things in the pot, then it's going to be Mutter, because the Taruvus is Mutter. Okay, the Shach has a hard time then explaining what it means to have the tray, but that's what the Shach says. That it means is, as long as there's something else in the pot, the Taruvus is going to be Mutter. Okay, a little side question is that there are other places where we have such a rule that things that have the taruvus are mutter, like kidneys and some that's pogum and pasakum and all those, it has to still be bought the baroi. Okay, so the shach is trying to say it as if it doesn't have to be bought the baroi. It's just, you know, as long as it's taruvus is mutter, usually we don't say that. Usually we say is when the taruvus means it is less than 50%. But anyway, that's what the shach says. You don't have to have three eggs in the pot, you just have to have one other egg in the pot. So the taz holds you have to have three eggs. Those who have this minute follow the taz. And the shach says, no, as long as, even if you have two eggs in the pot, it's okay. So according to the shach, there's no requirement to have anything. You have one egg, if it has a blood spot, don't eat it. If you have two eggs, the one with the blood spot, don't eat it. And the one without the blood spot, you can eat. Okay, now, Ramosha says about this. He says, this whole question, this whole deal, that everything I've said until now, is by situations when you have a chash of shalit tichel b'kula. The blood spot might be a sign that the egg is starting to form, the chick is starting to form, and therefore we have all these concerns. Ramosha says, but nowadays, the eggs that we could buy in the supermarket, those are eggs that are not fertilized eggs. Okay, we'll see more about this when we get to halacha ches, but these eggs are not fertilized eggs, and therefore there's no chash at all of shalit tichel b'kula. There's not a chance in the world that this is a chick starting to form. So Ramosha says like this. He says, now you should know. He says, really, the egg would be mutter, and you could just throw out the blood spot. But Rav says, but the minig is that the people are machdin and they will not eat the egg. They throw out the entire egg. They won't just throw out the blood spot. Rav says, but that's fine to be machmir for the egg itself. But to be machmir for other eggs is way more than you have to be. And therefore, nowadays when we're buying with our eggs, no one has to be machmir. He doesn't talk about the shach and taz per se, but the words he uses are very much in line with what they're saying. And essentially, he's saying is that even if you generally have like the taz, and you had such a mimic, or your grandma had such a mimic, because she lived in a place where the chickens ran wild, and there was a chashash or something, but nowadays, our eggs that we buy, there's no chashash that they came from fertilized eggs. And therefore, you don't have to have three eggs, according to anybody. That's it. Rav Moshe, the Lamaisa is, there are lots of people who still follow the minhag, And they know the grandmother always makes sure there's always at least 3 eggs in the pot, and that's what they do. And again, it's based on this task. Now, there's another part to this question that we have to talk about, but to get to that question, we need to do a little go off topic for a second. And that's like this. We have to talk about a shaila that the Prima Donna talks about, since in Pivo. Oh, I'm sorry, it's an Arsimon. Sorry, it starts with an Arsimon. The Prima Donna gets a shaila which is, it sounds at first to be very theoretical, but he has a Lamaisa application, and we'll see how it comes around to our din. And first, a drop of background. The thing is, a Dovashishna material can't be bothered. Something that if I wait a couple of days or a couple of hours, it'll become mutter, I can't eat it b'isra. That means is, and I can't eat it even if it's mixed into other things. It could be 1,000 of them. One of these mixed into 1,000, I'm not eating it. And the example that is, the classic example is, chicken lays an egg on Yom Tov, so the din is that egg is usher. Beis Shlomo Biyotav is usher. What happens if that egg gets mixed into 1,000 other eggs? So really, it should be bottle. But since it's a double shishlo material, why? Because tomorrow it won't be Yom and you won't be allowed to eat the egg. Therefore, the egg is not bottle. Okay, that's the din that double shishlo material is not bottle. Now, one of the rules of that is that double shishlo material is only not bottle when it's min b'minoi. If it's min b'she'eni minoi, it can be bottle. And one last thing is that. The Rama says the din of davishesh material not being bottled is only for the thing itself, but the belias coming out of the davishesh material they can be bottled. That's what the Rama says, and the Shach argues that no, even the time of the davishesh material also cannot be bottled. So, okay. So now come back to our case. The Prima Donna has the following question: when we say that when you have certain kind of eggs, no belias pass from an egg that's in its peel from a regular egg that's just, let's say, from a trade animal, bird or something like that, or certain those eggs, no bleas pass through the shell of the egg. He says like this. He says, does that mean is zero, absolutely no bleas pass through at all? Or what does he mean is so little passes through that little bit is going to be buffled in the thing that it's going into? Okay. He says, what's the difference? What's the difference if zero means absolute zero, or zero means is so little that it's going to be buffled? Is an afghan, it's like this. What would happen if we had a Beis Shlomo to be on them? What if you have an egg that was laid on Yontif and it was cooked with other eggs? And then we'd be able to pull that egg. We know which is the trade egg, we pulled it out. But there are bleas from that egg into the other eggs that are in the pan. So, if we say that this Beis Shlomo to be on them means a kind of a thing where the town would not pass through the shell, it would qualify for going to what the Machaber said of a town that doesn't pass through the shell, this qualifies for that. So what would happen now? If the time passed through from that egg into the rest of the eggs that are there. So now, and what's the nafkamina? According to the Shach, who says that by belias of davishesh material is also, we say it's a few of the elephant bottle, it cannot be bottle. So if a tiny bit of belias passes through from davishesh material, then the tiny bit of belias passes through, it cannot be bottled, and all the 1,000 eggs that it was cooked with cannot be eaten. You can't eat anything. But if we say that zero time passes through, if none at all passes through, then no time passes through the other eggs. You say kosher. No time from the Beis Shlomo beyond that passes the other eggs in the bottom. Okay. So in our simon, in simon peivav, when the Prima Donna speaks about the shaila, he leaves it sort of hanging. But he tells you, look elsewhere, that it's a simon kuf beis in your day, and in simon kuf beis he tells you it's to archaim to tough kuf yud gimel to another something. And over there, he brings a raya from Magen Avraham and the Ramah himself that, in fact, no bleas pierced through. Actually, it says over there that if you cook the treif egg, the Beis Shlomo Biyontif with the other eggs, the bleas do not make them usher. Even though, even if you hold that davishesh material, the bleas cannot be bottled, even if you hold like that, these bleas will not make the rest of the eggs treif. That tells us, the Prima Donna says, that zero bleas are passing through from a kosher egg. From the egg that was null to Yontif, and okay, now let's go back to our case that we've been talking about, which is you cooked 3 eggs in a pot, or however many eggs in a pot, and one egg was later found to have a blood spot. So we saw was that the other eggs remained kosher because the way the Taz explained it was the time from the kosher egg from the egg with the blood spot passes through to the other eggs. But there, it's bottled baroyv, so it's bottled, and then we don't have to worry about the rabbanon, so we could be mekel, and that was mutter. Okay, so Shlom Zalman brings a shaila that he said was asked by Rishu Leib Diskin. Okay, and I later found that Marsham asked the same question also. And Rishu Leib asked the following question. He says, what I just said is wonderful, for the other exit in the pot. He says, but what about the water in the pot and the pot itself? He says, let's think about what's going on over here. The tam that's in the we have a trafe egg, that is to say an egg with a blood spot. Tam passes out of that egg and goes into the water. And then it continues on and goes into the other eggs. So in the other eggs, the tam is vulnerable. But what happens when that egg, when that tam passes from the egg into the water? Well, when tam passes from the egg into the water, then there's just tam of the shav techel b'kula, tam of the trach egg, the egg with the blood spot, in the water. And there's no min b'mino to balance it out, because there's no tam comes out of the eggs that have no blood spots. Remember, they're in their shell. No tam comes out of them. If no tam comes out of them, then the water that's in the pot has bleeds coming only from the egg with the blood spot. The other tam does pierce through the shell. So the tam goes into the water. Tam from the egg with the blood spot goes into the water and then makes the pot trach. So how come the person all seem to be very happy that the water and the pot stay kosher? The other eggs are kosher, but the pot is kosher. Why is the pot kosher? Because in the other eggs, what happens is there's bleeds coming in, and there's questions of salek. Shomzal actually gives an explanation for how salek works. That the min b'mina is bato, and min she'en b'mina is ignored. He says, but in the water, there's nothing there. The only time that comes into the water is time from the egg with the blood spot in it. So why isn't the pot and the water trach? That's Shulev's question on this din. And Rosh Hashanah wants his answer is, he says, no, the answer is that a drop of tam does pass through from the eggs without the blood spots. So now in the water we have a mixture of water, tam from the egg with the blood spot, tam, a little bit of tam from the egg without the blood spot. So it's min d'minoi and it's bata b'roi. Based on the principles of salik, we ignore the ein d'minoi. So it's tam from one egg which has blood spot, tam from two eggs that have no blood spots, and therefore the tam is bottled, and the pot stays kosher. That's what Rosh Hashanah wants to ensure, what Rosh Hashanah answers. So, as you can realize, that's not like what the Prim Gadol said. Prim Gadol said, he brought a raya from Hilchos Yontif, that that's not true. Zero tam passes from the eggs that don't have the blood spots. If zero tam passes through, then in the water there isn't some tam, there's no tam. The only tam that's in the water is the tam from the egg that does have the blood spot. So, back to our kasha. So, Shomzal wants to give an answer and says, yes, the answer is that a little bit of tam comes out of the eggs without the blood spots, and that helps to offset the tam from the one with the blood spot. But Prim Gadol brought a riot that that's not true. Prim Gadol brought a riot that the tam from the eggs without a blood spot is not, no tam passes through. If no tam passes through, how are we going to make the water kosher? How could the water and the pot stay kosher? So, if we would stop here, we'd have a kosher on the Shomzal, which is basically Rishu Leib's kasha has not been answered according to Prim Gadol. But I later saw that the Yad Yehuda goes to this shakar chara that I just told you. I later saw it in the Yad Yehuda. The Yad Yehuda is in Simen Pei Vav, not by us. I'm sorry, in Simen Pei Vav, Samach Vav, in Hilchos Beitzim, in Samach Vav. And the Yad Yehuda, he starts off with a question. He says, why isn't the pot trade? So he says, oh, because maybe some tam passes through from the kosher eggs into the water also, and that's good enough to offset the tam from the egg, from the egg with the blood spot. But he says, no, don't look at the Prim Gadol. He says, the Prim Gadol says that no tam passes through. So what's going to be? So that's his question. Okay? Basically, exactly what I just told you before, unless, of course, he doesn't quote the people whose names I said, but he quotes the Prim Gadol, he brings us the question, how could the pot be kosher? This potential answer, essentially what Rosh Hashanah said, and he says, but it's not true because the Prim Gadol is not there. Okay? So he gives an answer, which is, in essence, is going to be very similar to Rosh Hashanah, but with a little twist. He says like this. He says, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds that a mashru of tam, when it's min b'minoi, can never be bottled. Right? He holds that by min b'minoi is not bottled no matter what. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. The Gemara says that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says if you have tzir from a treif fish, then whatever tzir is, not important for right now, tzir, it's treif, tzir from a non-kosher fish, it, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, can be bottled in 192 times. If it's 192 times as much hetter as iser, then it could be bottled. Okay? So, the Gemara says, why? But Rabbi Yehuda holds, min b'mina is asa b'mashu. So the Gemara says, the reason why it's mutter is because it's zeh the alma. Okay? Zeba Amo. What does that mean? So he says, the Yagiruti says, what I mean to say is, there's such a thing as a tam that it's so little, it's so minuscule, so zeh, like it's sweat, so nothing, it's such a minimal amount of tam in the thing that even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that that min b'mina can't be bottled, he will hold that in this case it can be bottled. Even though usually he holds min b'mina, even the mashu, there are certain isurim that they're so small, they're so minuscule, they're so non-important, that therefore they can be bottled, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now they need 192 times, but they could be bottled. Okay, now, as an aside, it's very not clear in the Gemara of that that's what it means. Tarsus there talks about that Zeh Ba'al means it's Asim Drabonon, and other, and there's all kinds of to-dos in questioning about what that word Zeh Ba'al means, not one, or not like what the Yagyud is saying. And the Yagyud also brings another thing about a Gid Hanoshaving bottle that also talks about having tiny amounts, and that's also not such a push to write what he says. But just what the Yagyud says, he says is that there's a tiny amount, and those tiny amounts could be, can be bottled even when there's an Isamashu. And he said that shot in the Rajma. Again, we could put the Gemara on the side. He brings a Rajma in the Gemara, put the Gemara on the side. Even the Rajma says that, talking about blood spot in an egg, the Rajma says is that the blea that comes out, he says, Eina Poletis Ella Zeya Bi'amma, the same word, Zeya Bi'amma. It's the tongue that passes through the shell is passes through is Zeya Bi'amma, and therefore, when the Gemara says no time passes through, it didn't really mean none. It meant it's so minuscule that it doesn't count. So the Yehuda is saying, what the Rashi means to say is that it's so little that when we come to rules of it's a mashu, it doesn't make a difference. It's so it doesn't need to be bottled. It's a tiny bit and it needs to be bottled. But that bit works even when something can't is also the mashu. So here we're hearing this idea, which is it's possible that something to be very tiny. But the Prima Gautam had said, when things are very tiny, they're Asa B'mashu, and the idea is bringing, same from this Rajma, and his own based sort of on a Gemara, that no, it's possible for a tiny bit to come out, but that tiny bit is in such a form, it's a Zeh B'Amo, whatever that means, that it is not Asa B'mashu. So therefore, in Hilchos Yomtiv, when it says that the time that comes out of the Be'eshanot B'yomtiv can be bottled, that's not a riot that no time comes out. Maybe really a tiny bit comes out. And the tiny bit that comes out is Ena Paletta says in Elizea Viano, that tiny bit comes out. That tiny bit that comes out is not within the rules of something that's also for Mashu, and it can be bottled on Yom Tov. And therefore, back to our cases, since it's only it is a tiny bit that's coming out, so that saves our pot. Because the way it saves the pot is because a tiny bit is coming out. So the egg with the blood spot is giving off time into the water, but the eggs without the blood spots are also giving off tiny bits of water, and therefore the pot actually has a mixture of min b'mina. The pot has a mixture of time from an egg with a blood spot and time from the eggs without a blood spot, and therefore we save the pot in the water. Okay, now just a question on this Yehuda is, if he's saying it's tiny and it's very small amounts, so the whole tie that explained that the bit of min b'minoi and chai b'trei bottle, it has to be more hefty than iser. Now, I'm not clear how that's going to work. You know, two eggs giving off a tiny bit is going to be enough to be bottle the tam from the blood spot that gives off regular tam. But that's what the Yehuda wants to say. But and sort of as we said beforehand, the Yehuda is essentially saying that with the Prima Gautam. The Prima Gautam says, I have a riot from Hilchos Yomtiv to this rule. I have a riot from Hilchos Yomtiv that zero tam passes through an egg. And the Yehuda is trying to say is that no, zero doesn't mean zero. Zero means a tiny, such a tiny bit that doesn't even follow the rules of Issa Mashu. But that's the answer that he tries to give to this question.